Good morning. Will you welcome your neighbor? Tell them, good morning, welcome to CCF. And now tell them, I'm glad you're alive this morning. Let's say hi to those who are watching us in the overflow room. Good morning. In the internet, in the outreaches. We all say, everybody, good morning. Now, if you are our guest, we have a special room dedicated for you. You need counseling, you need prayer. Please go to the room where I'm pointing. By the way, I'm inviting all of you to join the G race, especially the singles. Not all, only singles. Singles, the G race. It is life-changing. It's going to be relevant, especially for guests, for first-timers. You will be so touched by what's going to happen in the G race. It's for young people, for singles. So I hope you will make it. We will continue our series, the series on intimacy with God. Now, before we do that, I would like all of us to please stand up, turn your Bibles to Psalm 16. I've asked our pastor, many of you may not know, Ricky Sartu is our new executive pastor. So, if you have any issue, problems, please contact our executive pastor, Ricky Sartu. So, Psalm 16. All right, everybody, read together with him.
Let's read the Word of God together. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to gather together. We thank you for all that you are doing. I thank you for our brother Ricky Sartu, for his willingness to commit his full time, being our executive pastor. We also thank you for the freedom we have in this country to sing, to worship you, to study the Bible. We now pray especially for our president, grant him wisdom, especially in his fight against graft and corruption. We now pray that you will also give him wisdom in choosing the next Supreme Court justice, that you will guide his leadership, and that we will choose the right person for the right job. We pray for all the senators, Congress, congressmen, judiciary, military, government officials, that you will be the one to work in their lives, that they will love this country more than they love themselves. We also thank you for our upcoming new worship training center. We thank you for the progress. We thank you for the provisions. We thank you for those we have given willingly, sacrificially. We also thank you for our architect, for all the volunteers. Continue to take care of that project, that it will be used for your glory, for your kingdom. I now pray for our guests, our members, our D group leaders, especially those who are hurting, that you will speak to all of us. You will meet the needs of your people. Override my preparation. Be the one to speak to the people. Comfort them, encourage them. We now commit to you the rest of the worship services, not just here, all over the Philippines, all over the world. Those who name the name of the Lord, will you just make your presence be felt? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please sit down. This may surprise many of you. The first question is not surprising. How many of you want to be happy? Higher. If you don't want, I will ask the psychiatrist to speak to you. How many of you are happy? Ah, praise God. This will surprise many of you. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be joyful. Let's read this together, everybody. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, sorry. Everybody, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do you know this? This is a command. You are commanded to rejoice. Now, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Number one, it's a spelling. But number two, happiness depends on happenings. While joy is internal. Joy is from the heart. Happiness can change depending on circumstances. But joy is different. Now, this is a command. You are to rejoice in the Lord. Many people will be surprised that the Lord is joyful. You know why? I will show you. Look at John 15, verse 11. Everybody, let's read this. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Notice, the first thing you learn is Jesus is telling us His joy. God is full of joy. You see this throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You look at the festivals. God commands His people, when you worship me, be joyful. That's why it's called festivals. But in the New Testament, He tells us the same thing. Be joyful. Underline the word joyful. That your joy may be made what? Full. You are to be joyful. It is very important. He gives you the power to be joyful. Let's read this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. He not only tells you to be joyful, He gives you the power to be joyful. Do you know that joy is a gift from God? That He wants you to experience His gift? Now, it is sad when Christians are not joyful. I love this quotation. The Christian owes it to the world to be what? Supernaturally joyful. Everybody, read this one more time. The Christians owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. Let me tell you why. You know, I'm reminded of the story of a boy who went to visit his grandfather in the farm. In 1 week's time, that was his short vacation, he began to look for animals. He saw a group of chickens. They were playing, scratching, and he said, "They ain't got it." And then he began to see the horses. He saw the horses running and playing. And he said, "They ain't got it." And then he looked at some ducks. The ducks were swimming. The ducks were playing. And he said, "They ain't got it." Finally, he saw an animal in the barn. An old donkey. The face is frowning. The face is long. And he said, "He's got it. He's got it." And he shouted, "Grandpa, Grandpa, come, he's got it." And then grandfather said, "What do you mean he got it?" "He has your religion. He got it." Now, why is it that many people, so-called Christians, don't experience joy? Do you know many people are turned off to Christianity by the lives of God's people? It's very sad when we don't experience joy. I like the statement of the Supreme Court Justices, one of the Supreme Court Justices of America. This is his comment. He said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." You know what's undertakers? You work in the funeral parlor. Okay? Let's read this together. A person full of joy proclaims the gospel without preaching. And a Christian who is not joyful distorts the gospel of Christ. When people look at us, are they attracted to Jesus? The only way you can attract them to the Lord is to let them see the joy of the Lord. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be joyful. Yan. If your neighbor is not smiling, tell your neighbor, what's wrong with you? Be joyful. Do you know this is a command? One of the respectable sins of Christian is to be grumpy, to be moody, and not to be joyful. You and I bring shame to the name of Jesus because we don't represent God properly. God is a joyful God, and He wants you to be joyful. Not just for the sake of others, for your own sake. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. The Bible says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, question. Why are many believers not joyful? Our series is on intimacy with the Lord. The evidence of intimacy, everybody, is joy. The evidence of Christian maturity, if you ask me, is joy. Because joy is independent of circumstances. Psalm 16 tells us the principles of joy. So I want us to look at the last verse of Psalm 16, and then I'll explain to you the entire chapter, how you can experience the joy of the Lord. Let's read this together, the last verse of Psalm 16. Everybody, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Notice, I want you to underline the word, in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Not just joy, fullness of joy. Now let me ask you, are you full of joy? Just look at your neighbor now. Look at your neighbor. If they're not smiling, tell your neighbor, be joyful. Now look at the next phrase. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Now, the word pleasure comes from the word pleasant, melodious music, something acceptable. The word prosperity and the word pleasure are also connected. It is something acceptable. It is something good. Notice, the Bible talks about in your right hand there are pleasures forever. That, my friend, is the heritage of God's people, intimacy with the Lord. If you are intimate with the Lord, the byproduct is joy. Do not make joy your God. The problem with us is, if you pursue joy, you will not experience joy. You are to pursue the Lord. Intimacy with the Lord. And the byproduct is what? Joy. So what is the evidence of somebody who is intimate with the Lord? What's the answer? Joy. If you are not joyful, it does not matter what you say. I know the Lord. I'm very close to the Lord. I'm intimate with the Lord. But if you are not joyful, something is wrong with your claim that you know the Lord and you are intimate with the Lord. Now, can I tell you why many Christians are not joyful? They allow robbers and thieves to steal their joy. What are the top robbers of joy? Number one, people. People will rob you of joy. Especially friends and loved ones. Why do you want to allow them to rob you of your joy? People will disappoint you. I guarantee you, sooner or later, your best friend, your loved ones will disappoint you. So why do you allow people to rob you of your joy? Circumstances. Circumstances will rob you of your joy. And the worst robber is yourself. You rob yourself of joy. So let's look at Psalm 16. This is called the Golden Psalm. It gives you the principles of experiencing the joy of the Lord. One more time. Look at your neighbor in the eyes and tell your neighbor, you owe it to the world to be joyful. Yeah, now I see you smiling. Hallelujah. You owe it to the world and to the Lord to be joyful. Everybody, turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you owe it. Really, you tell your neighbor, you really owe it. I don't know why you are not joyful. Okay, be joyful. Now, some of you are so angry already, stop telling me to be joyful. Now, look at the context of Psalm 16. I will give you the closer context, then I'll give you the bigger context. Look at Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will dwell securely. Notice, security and joy, they go together. But notice, the joy of the Lord is not the absence of problem. It is not denying that you don't have problem. Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me because He's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. When this was written, many scholars believe that David was running for his life. King Saul was after him. He could have been shaken. But this is a discipline. This is a spiritual discipline that you have to recognize that the Lord is always with you. In the midst of crisis, when you're about to lose your joy, you have to remind yourself, I will set the Lord continually before me. This is what you call practicing the presence of God in your life. You must remind yourself, the Lord is here. I have set the Lord continually. Notice the grammar. I have set the Lord. Nobody can do it for you. I cannot do it for you. You have to recognize the Lord is present. And then you say, the Lord is with me continually before me. You said it continually. And because He's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. It is possible. You have problems. What do? You remind yourself. This is connected with intimacy. You know why? How else do you explain the Apostle Paul? Look at the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 16, let's read this together. When they had struck them down with many blows, they threw them, Paul and Silas, into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now look at me. I want to imagine you were the Apostle Paul and Silas. God told Paul and Silas, don't go to Asia. Go to Europe. Go to Macedonia. Go to Philippi. He went to Philippi. When he preached the gospel, they beat him up. They threw him in prison. Be honest. If you were Paul and you listened to God and you are doing what God wants you to do and you ended up in jail, you ended up being beaten, how will you feel? I know what most of us will do. You become angry at God. You'll say, you know what? If this is Christianity, forget it. If this is what it means to follow Jesus, forget it. You know, many people get tired of following the Lord because they do not know the Lord. For many people, the Lord is something you can what? Get. You fail to realize God has given us everything. I believe God will give you blessing. But what if the blessing is first to be put in jail? So what does it mean to place the Lord continually before me? Look at that verse. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. To practice the presence of God, you must become a man and a woman of prayer. When something bad is about to happen, don't jump to conclusion. You pray. You seek the presence of the Lord. And that is why I invite everybody here. We want you to develop a habit of spending time with the Lord. And that's why every Wednesday, every midweek, we gather at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 to 7. We like you to come. The short talk is all about prayer. How to pray, how God answers prayer. And then you pray. That's all. That's all we do. 6 to 7, every Wednesday morning. But that's how you experience the presence of God. You begin to be conscious. You pray. And then notice what Paul did. While he was praying, he began to sing. Now listen, what will make you sing when people mistreat you? Only when you are intimate with the Lord. Unbelievers cannot do this. Immature Christians will never rejoice when they are mistreated. But mature Christians, those who are deep in the faith, those who know the Lord, they will rejoice. Because their joy is not dependent on circumstances. Notice verse 1. Preserve me, O Lord. I take refuge in you. He is not denying his problem. He's asking for preservation. He was running for his life. But he's saying, Lord, preserve me. I take refuge in you. One of my favorite scenes in the movies is this scene by Lucy. Now, how many of you have seen the movie, The Chronicles of Narnia? The Prince Caspian, okay? No, you know, this series of movies is based on a book written by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis used to be an atheist. He was not a Christian. Then an agnostic. But eventually, he became a follower of Jesus. So he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. Now, the movie is based on the story. Here you will see Lucy, a little girl, facing a huge army. Instead of being scared, my favorite scene is she pulled out her sword. My goodness, the sword is so tiny. You know why she was not afraid? In the midst of impending doom, all right? I want to show you the meaning of practicing the presence of the Lord. Let's see this short clipping. In your presence, you have security, you have joy. Notice the next verse in Psalm 16, verse 2. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good besides you. The secret of experiencing joy in the Lord is to understand how precious the Lord is. Notice verse 2. I said to the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the very personal name of God. It is different from the next word, you are my Lord, Adonai. That's different. He's saying, the Lord, He is my Lord. Now let me ask you, who is your Lord? You cannot experience intimacy with God until you come to a point in your life where you realize, I have no good. Look at that phrase. I have no good besides you. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I can have everything, but without God, I have nothing. You can have everything, but without God, you have nothing. He's saying, if you have God, everything that is good, you will have. But if you don't have God, everything that you think is good will not eventually be good. And that's why he's saying, I have no good besides you. Let me ask you, is the Lord your highest treasure? Is he your greatest possession? Do you know the Lord like this? You see, I'm always reminded when my kids were growing up, my wife will always tell them, do not eat candy, do not eat junk food before mealtime. Why do we not encourage our kids to eat junk food, especially before mealtime? Because sugar will give you a false buzz. It will deaden your appetite. It masks the appetite for protein, for vitamins. It masks the appetite. It covers the real appetite for what is nutritional food. You have counterfeit food. And you think it's okay. The psalmist is saying, no, no, no. To show you his devotion, his belief, his faith in who God is. Notice the next phrase. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. How come you have a verse 3 inserted between verse 2 and 4? Look at verse 3. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. What has that got to do with verse 4? The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. In verse 2, apart from you, I have nothing good apart from God. Can I tell you why you have that verse 3? Verse 3 is showing us his devotion to the Lord. Let me explain to you. If you love somebody, what that person loves, you love. What that person does not like, you don't like. For example, when I first met my wife, I don't like vegetables. I don't eat salad. I am a carnivorous person, okay? We, our family, when we were growing up, we eat meat, okay? We love meat. But I married my wife. I love my wife. Can I tell you, today, I love salad. I love to eat vegetables. Why? What my wife likes, I'm learning to like. Now, my wife does not like violence. She does not like to watch video that has sins that are not honoring to the Lord. Now, what she likes has affected us. God loves people. If you love God, you got to love people, especially the people of God. You cannot say, Lord, I love you, but I don't love the church. I don't like the people. You cannot do that. So David is saying, I love the people of the Lord. We love things and use people. No, no. You learn to love people. Do you love God? Yes or no? If you say yes, my next question, do you love the people of God? You see, the problem with the people of God, sometimes they are hard to love. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are hard to love, but I love you. Sometimes you are hard to love, I love you. Can I tell you something? Don't allow people to rob you of your joy. They may be hard to love, but my joy is not dependent on people. It's dependent on the Lord. So look at this verse. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. Do you know the root word for the word sorrows? In the original language, the word sorrows comes from the word idol. Idolatry. It is used to describe a sharp knife carving a piece of wood. There is pain. There is grief. There is sorrow. And now you put the whole sentence together. Read that one more time. The sorrows. Idolatry. To those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. This is a foundational statement. Oftentimes, we have a lot of counterfeit gods. We have substitutes. And the Bible says, your sorrows will increase. Do you know that nature abhors vacuum? You see, God made us. And a saint, as this great French physicist once said, Pascal, he said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the hearts of all of us, which cannot be filled by any created thing. That vacuum has to be filled because nature abhors a vacuum. When there's a vacuum, it has to be filled. Most of us have vacuums. And you try to fill that emptiness with things that will never satisfy you. You know, some people, they're very sincere. They think marriage will really make me happy because there is that emptiness. So you fill that with perhaps a relationship. And then you discover marriage does not really satisfy me. There is a vacuum in your soul. Some of you are busy filling that vacuum with money, with popularity, with activities, thinking that will make me happy. You see, if you look at behavior, most of us are rational beings. Why do people get involved with sex? Why do people get involved in drugs? Not because they want to be miserable. They do that because they are sincere in their thinking, this will make me happy. But the Bible is telling us in Psalm 16, verse 4, the sorrows of those who have bartered for another God, not the Lord, but His substitutes, your sorrows will multiply. Because you will not experience the reality of what God has to offer, and all we have will be what? Counterfeit. How many of you read the latest Newsweek magazine? That article, the front page, talks about addiction. How many of you have the latest Newsweek magazine? It's talking about internet addiction. It's talking about technology addiction. He said, many people today, this is based on research in Taiwan, in Beijing, in California, in Europe, all over the world, they all suddenly arrive at the same conclusion. Technology, internet, iPhone, BlackBerry, all of this, Facebook, all of these are addictive. People cannot sleep without looking first at the Facebook or the internet, and they try to experiment. They try to ask them, for one whole day, don't touch your internet, your technology. Many of them could not. Because of modern science, they had a brain scan. They discovered people addicted to drugs. And those who are addicted to technology, the brain had the same pattern. It's called addiction. Sin is always an addiction. Sin, any form of sin, I'm not saying internet is a sin, but if you are not careful, it becomes your idol. It takes the place of God in your life. And before you know it, you are addicted. Because the very nature of sin is for you to have a substitute for God. So what are those substitutes in your life? No wonder he tells us in the next verse, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. What is the psalmist saying? You have to understand. This is a word picture from the book of Joshua. When they were dividing the property, they drew lots. This property, they drew lots. Okay, Judah, you'll have this area. Benjamin, this is your area. David was running away to save his life. In the process of running away, he is losing his inheritance, his property. But David was able to be joyful, even though he is losing all of his earthly inheritance. Look at this verse. What is he saying? The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. What is he saying? I can lose my earthly inheritance. But if I have the Lord, I have everything. He's saying, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My heritage is beautiful. He's saying, whatever God gives me, that is the best for me. That is faith. You see, without trust in the Lord, you cannot be joyful. Intimacy is not just practicing His presence. Intimacy is saying, I trust in the goodness of the Lord. He is my highest good. God has only best intention for me. And because the Lord is my Lord, I shall not lack any good thing. That's what he's saying. My heritage is beautiful. To prove to you your heritage is beautiful, I don't care how rich you are. You know, there are many Chinese today who will not want to talk about life insurance. It's very hard to sell life insurance to Chinese. You know why? They will ask you, why? You want me to die already? So, a lot of Asians, of course, now the new generation of Chinese are different. But the truth is this. You don't like to talk about death. You don't want to think about death. It doesn't matter. Because sooner or later, you will. Oh, I did not say that. You said it. And when you die, let me ask you a question. How much can you bring with you? So let me ask you. Why do you fight over money? Why do you allow money to steal the joy of your life? David is saying, the Lord is my portion. You know, you need to practice the presence of the Lord in every situation. You need to learn to put your trust in God's plan. You know, a few weeks ago, I was invited to El Nido. You know, I'm a very simple person to please, you know. When people invite me to El Nido, especially when it's free, I'm very happy. So I went with my wife, with some family members. Now, I did not share this with my host because I'm so grateful. I'm very happy. We were there for 2 nights. And then the following day, I'm supposed to take the morning flight. My host meant well, okay? The morning flight. But in my mind, I was thinking, you know, if I can stay longer in El Nido to enjoy the beach, to enjoy the fresh air, that would be wonderful. But my flight was the first flight out of El Nido. That means I have to leave the resort by 7:15. Beggars cannot be choosers, okay? So, you prepare, you go. So, we rode the airplane. I did not share this with my family members. It's just in my heart. Sayang, I wish I can stay longer. But my host stayed longer, okay? They stayed, they took the afternoon flight. But you know what shocked me? Was when I arrived in Manila, I heard the announcement. The announcement, there were many others who was going to ride the plane to El Nido. The announcement said, ladies and gentlemen, we are sorry to announce to you, all the flights are canceled. No more flights today to El Nido. And I thought about it, hallelujah, I made it back. You know why it is so important? The Lord knew I needed to be here. Because when I arrived, my sister arrived from Singapore. When I arrived, I had time to readjust my PowerPoint. Because my host could not leave. On Saturday, he was still stuck in El Nido. I arrived on a Friday morning. I called him. I checked, pare, saan ka na? El Nido. Saturday, pare, saan ka na? El Nido. Sunday morning, where are you? Coming from El Nido. The Lord knew I needed to be back. Can I tell you why? I was able to rearrange the PowerPoint and I was able to give an evangelistic talk in a government office. They arranged a talk on success versus significance in a government office. Government expenses. But who are the speakers? CCFers. I said, Lord, I thank you. If I had stayed longer to enjoy the beach, my goodness, you won't see me one Sunday. You won't see me. You know why? I would have been stuck. So is God wonderful? Yes. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Now, when you're disappointed, look at me. When you're disappointed in life, my advice, don't jump to conclusion. Learn to see God at work. If not, your Christian life is up and down. When you get what you want, you're happy. When you don't get what you want, you are sad. But how do you know what you want is not good? And what God wants is better than what you want. So that's the idea of this verse. Let's continue reading. Look at what the Bible is saying. Though the fig tree should not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. If I were to paraphrase this in modern English, though my company is going bankrupt, though I don't have money anymore, though the food in my refrigerator is dwindling, though my friends don't appreciate me anymore, look at this verse. Next verse. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Now, this is the evidence of intimacy with God. Joy, apart from circumstances. But you can never experience this joy if you are not intimate with the Lord. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, you owe it to the world to be joyful. Don't be irritated at your neighbor, okay? I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. This is amazing. The psalmist is saying, I will bless the Lord. Why? I am following the counsel of the Lord. Now listen to me. There are two ways to live your life. One is your own way. The other one is the ways of the Lord. Now let me ask you, how does God counsel us? How? Does He call you by cell phone? God counsels us. Look at me now. Through the Word of God. That's why I keep telling everybody, you need to understand the Word of God. Because God's ways will never contradict His Scripture. If you don't know the Word of God, you are in deep trouble. You know why? You can follow the ways of the world. Let me tell you the story of two men. They grew up around the same time. They encountered the same experiences throughout life. They experienced a world war. They experienced everything. The difference is this. The first person, his name is Ben Jacobs. He followed the path of the world. He became successful. At the age of 25, he made his first $1 million. At the age of 40, he became the richest man in his state. Now, when I say the richest man in his state, I'm talking about big money. In the United States, one state can be bigger and more and richer than the whole Philippines. Understand what I'm saying? So the guy was the richest person in his state. Politicians come to him. He was popular, except for one thing. At the age of 75, at the latter part of his life, Ben discovered he's not happy. Ben discovered he has basically ruined his life. So he talked to a pastor. He talked to a man of God. And he said, I have messed up my life. I have more money today than I can ever imagine. I have more money than I can ever spend for the rest of my life. But I'm not happy. I have three wives. All of them left me because they saw and they realized my infidelity. Remember, he's copying the ways of the world. And he said, I have a daughter who is now 40 years old. And my daughter will have nothing to do with me. She won't even talk to me. I didn't care about people. And now I realize people didn't really care about me. I'm just waiting to die. That was Ben. Ben followed this life based on an illusion. It's called the ways of the world. The ways of the world is very simple. Make as much money as you can. It doesn't matter whether you are ethical or not ethical. Wine, women, song, that's happiness. That's the ways of the world. Life is short. I want to get the most out of life. So if I can have lots of women, so what? That's the ways of the world. It's called an illusion. But John Wooden is another person. John Wooden made a decision. I will follow Jesus. I will follow the ways of the Lord. So he anchored his life on truth, not on illusion. He became very successful also. But the difference is this. He is successfully happy. The other guy is successfully miserable. Do you know who is John Wooden? John Wooden is the legendary coach of America. John Wooden holds the record of the most basketball championship any coach could have experienced. 10 NCAA basketball championship. His team won a record of 88 straight wins. To show you how great he was, nobody comes close to his record. To show you how successful he was married to his wife for over 50 plus years. They are happy together. He passed away in 2010. But before he died, his basketball players would call him, who are now NBA players, who are now ex-NBA players, they would call him and just thank him. And just share with him what's happening with their lives. John Wooden, committed to follow the Lord. He taught his basketball player the ways of the Lord. Integrity, character, discipline, following the Lord. I realize there are two groups of people here today. You all want to be happy, that I know. The only question is, how do you experience happiness? One, you do it your way. You follow your own thinking. You follow the ways of the world. It's an illusion. You follow television program. You think that will make you happy. The other approach is you humble yourself and you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I will follow your ways. Now, many of you know I'm still young, okay? I'm over 60. I have 10 grandchildren. If I can live my life all over again, I will do it the same. I will follow Jesus. I will tell my children to follow Jesus. Because it is the best life. I will never trade my life for others. In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. Let's continue reading. Psalm 16. The secret of experiencing joy in the Lord. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh will dwell securely. Notice, His security is based on the presence of the Lord. Our security is never the absence of problems. Your joy is never because you don't have problems. Your joy is because of the presence of the Lord, intimacy with the Lord. But don't miss the next verse. That is the highlight of the next few verses. You will not abandon my soul in Sheol. The word Sheol means the place of the dead, where people go when they die. Nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. What is David saying? The psalmist is saying, not only do I have security now, I have eternal security. When I die, I don't have to be afraid because the Lord will still take care of me. Ladies and gentlemen, until you have eternal security, until you know where you are going after you die, you will never ever experience the joy of the Lord. You will always be living in fear. The reason why you live in fear, because you have no assurance of salvation. This same phrase, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, is a direct referral to Jesus. Embedded in this psalm is a prophecy about Jesus. This is called a messianic psalm. Because in our Christian life, the secret of joy points eventually to Jesus. Let me show you how that verse is used. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Let's read this together. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Jesus, for him, to be held in its power. For David, the one who wrote Psalm 16, says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence. He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Now look at the explanation. Brethren, I may confidently say to you, regarding the patriarch David, he both died and was buried, and this tomb is with us this day. So, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to sit one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned into Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. What the Bible is saying, that phrase, you will not abandon my soul to Hades, is referring to Jesus. Immediate application, David believed that God will bring him back to life. But the other prophetic application is, this is referring to none other than Jesus, the source of our joy, the source of our peace. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Jesus, how can you have peace? How can you have joy? Let me ask you, how do you know when you die you'll go to heaven? What is your basis? I don't want to criticize people who say, you know, when I die, I'll go to heaven. It's up to you. But let me ask you, how do you know? How do you know your way is the way to heaven? You see, many people claim they know how to go to heaven. Can I tell you something? If your ways are not the ways of the Lord, if you don't know Jesus, but you know about Him, but you don't know Him, I don't think you have assurance of salvation. What's my proof? I got permission from this lady to share with us about her story. You see, her husband even went to a school that is a Christian school. He graduated in the States. He knew the Bible. But to the horror of his wife, the wife discovered after their marriage, he has other families. The wife asked me to talk to the husband. We invited him to the retreat. In that retreat, I discovered this guy knows a lot about the Bible, all head knowledge. And I discovered the difference between a true Christian and a head knowledge Christian is 12 inches. Somebody once shared this again and again with me. The difference, the distance between heaven and hell, 12 inches. Some of you know about the Bible. You may not know the Lord. To make a long story short, praise God. This man eventually gave his life to Jesus. When you are with Jesus, your life is transformed. Let me tell you the meaning of intimacy with the Lord. Let's read this verse together. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In other words, our joy is based on intimacy with God. This man, his name is called Robert, had cerebral palsy. Now, when you have cerebral palsy, you are very dependent. He cannot put on his own clothes. He cannot take his own shower. He cannot eat on his own. When he speaks with a slur. I want you to know God loves you. Do you understand? But this guy, even though he cannot run, he cannot walk, he cannot ride bicycle, he did not feel sorry for himself. He experienced intimacy with the Lord. He finished his high school. He finished his college education. He had a degree in Latin. And he decided to become a missionary. He went to Portugal. In Lisbon, he befriended some people who agreed to take care of him, and he learned Portuguese. Now, for 6 years, he would stay in a park, okay, in a park, And he would give away tracts, the gospel message. In 6 years, he led 70 people to Jesus. And one of those people he led to the Lord was his wife. He eventually married, and people asked him, "What is the secret of your life?" You see, he was held by Velcro. His clothes are all Velcro because it's hard to put on clothes. But his life was held by the joy of the Lord. This is what he said: "I have everything I need for joy." It's amazing how a man like this can experience joy, because it is the reality of the Christian life. You want to know what happened to Ben, that successful businessman? At the age of 75, he met a man of God. And the man of God explained to him the ways of the Lord. It was a slow process. They met every day for weeks. Eventually, Ben surrendered his life to Jesus. Ben did not live a radiant life for the first 75 years of his life. But he experienced a transformation. It happened when he was around age 76. And Ben lived for the next 88 years in the presence of the Lord. He wrote a letter to his daughter. He asked for forgiveness. And the Lord and the daughter forgave him. The story of Ben tells you it's never too late to change. He lived up to age 88. And his daughter wrote back. Apparently, the pastor did not know what was happening. The daughter wrote back and told the pastor, "My father died radiantly. He met the Lord." Isn't that amazing? It's never too late to change. Some of you feel like, "I messed up my life." Well, I have good news for you. What is the good news? Let's close with this. Let's read this one more time. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Do you know the Lord? Let's bow our heads and pray. There may be some of you here. You can honestly say, "Peter, I have not understood nor experienced the joy of the Lord." Perhaps you have a lot of counterfeit gods. Perhaps you have a lot of sugar-coated candies in your life, that there's no room for the real stuff. Is it possible that God is allowing you to have problems so that you will turn to Him? Well, if you want to turn to Him, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Silently, between you and the Lord, you can pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I want to experience real joy. I don't have this kind of joy in my life. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I want to trust you today as my Lord and my Savior. I surrender my life to you. Lord, you are my Lord. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for the assurance of forgiveness, because you love me and you died for me. I now receive this joy. I now receive your life into my life. Help me to grow. Help me to know you more. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen."